This is Web Crawler with Andrew Hawthorne. The views and opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of this station. Web Crawler with Andrew Hawthorne on the VOCM radio network.
Humans of New York was a project of a New York photographer who started taking pictures of individual people wandering the streets of Manhattan and telling their stories. It completely blew up online and went viral. It's on social media, and now that photographer was investigating refugee issues in Greece and interviewing Barack Obama. And there's many different versions of this project now online, looking at individuals from different communities and trying to zoom in and focus on one person and one person's story rather than a group of people grouped by location or race or social class. The Humans of Labrador project is a new joint project by the Tamarack Camera Club in Happy Valley Goose Bay and the Labrador Institute. And I'm going to talk to a few people today about that project, about looking at individuals, people who live in Labrador, and telling their stories. Martha McDonald, tell us a bit about the Humans of Labrador project.
The Humans of Labrador project is, I think it will be familiar to anyone, kind of a replica of the Humans of New York project that we see on Facebook and different places. We had the idea when there was a photo exhibit in the town hall here in Goose Bay, and some really interesting pictures were put up by the Tamarack Camera Club, and a conversation came about through those people and us from the Labrador Institute, people from the town, about the possibility of getting portraits of people in Labrador and having some accompanying information with them to give a kind of a picture of why people are here, either people who've been here a long time or newcomers, and really what their life in Labrador is like.
So have you gone out and got many of these portraits already, or is this going to be an approaching project that you're going to launch?
Oh, no, it's already underway. The camera club here has regular meetings. They do a number of projects. They sometimes take pictures of the Trapline Marathon or the Labrador Creative Arts Festival, things that happen here, and they document them. And they were interested in trying this, and so I got involved. I'm not a photographer myself, so I got involved because I'm a folklorist, and so I was able to do some workshops with them on how to interview people. And so they have gotten started, so it's been a project of the camera club. So they've done some portraits already, and they've been appearing in the Newfoundland Quarterly and also online.
And what kind of stories are you finding out there?
It took a little bit of time for people to get comfortable with the idea of interviewing people. They're used to taking pictures of them, but not really asking them so much about their lives. So people worked a little bit on those questions, and we practiced it. And they found that there were they would be able to kind of find pictures of I'm not explaining this very well, but sort of almost word portraits of people's lives or their interests, depending on what they were doing.
Okay.
And you may find that the person from the camera club, John Graham, could probably tell you more about that aspect of it. My part of it really was to help get the funding and to do the interviewing techniques, but there are people that are actually taking the photographs that you might want to talk to as well.
So, yeah, I know how difficult it is to actually talk to somebody, of course, as a reporter, when we often do streeters and you just have to approach people randomly on the street and say, tell me your story. It's not the easiest thing to do, but I guess that's something that you're used to doing as a folklorist, talking to people who aren't necessarily expecting to be the ones talked to.
Yes, it's certainly something you develop an ability to do, and I'm sure you do the same kind of thing, the asking the open-ended questions and kind of leading up to what you want to know. I think it helped that we live in a fairly small community, and so people certainly in the beginning stages are taking portraits of people they already know, and so they would know kind of the some aspect of their lives that might make for a particularly interesting story, so they can direct their questions in that way. But I think even in that case, it's sometimes challenging for people to ask more formal questions of people that they already know. But it has provided some interesting angles on the portrait so far. And we also had we've had some other collaborators. Michelle Porter at the Newfoundland Quarterly has published some of them, and so that was sort of the beginning of the exposure of this. It's also going to go online, and we're going to bring in people from other parts of Labrador. But I think the beginning stages of it, people would be trying to look for people they knew and that they knew would have a particularly good story.
What kind of aspects of local culture around Goose Bay are coming out in this? I guess you're getting kind of a wide variety of stories of people who live around there.
Yes, we wanted to look at people who were, there is a tendency to say, there are people who've been in Labrador for a very, very long time, and to take pictures of them as kind of representative of a group is probably not necessarily what we want to do, because we're interested in people who may have moved here recently, people who are immigrants, people who have come from away and made this their home and stayed here a lot longer than they expected to. So we're trying to get the stories of all of those people. And at the same time, we're enhancing the collections of Them Days, because Them Days magazine has been in operation for more than 40 years, and they're always looking for new material. So we're able to, some of the photographers are the editor at Them Days, and there's also a reporter at CBC. So there are people who are used to doing this kind of work in a sense, but this is a new angle on it to be focusing on the celebration of the images and letting that sort of shine through as the many, many aspects of our community. And we also had somebody from Memorial Boyan First, who's a photographer, and he came here to do some other work and did a portrait workshop with people. So the other angle on this is that the Camera Club, who is a group of amateur enthusiasts and some very good photographers amongst them, are getting some extra training through this process as well.
Something you said that was interesting to me was that you were trying to collect photos of people not as a representative of a group, you know, not to say like, oh, you know, this is somebody whose people have lived in Labrador for thousands of years, or this is somebody who is the immigrant to Labrador and their story is their story. You know, like Humans of New York was about individuality. Is that kind of what's going on here too?
Exactly. I think it's too easy to kind of characterize a place in certain ways. We know that certainly happens with Newfoundland. We know that it happens with other parts of the country where people say, this place is like this. What we see in Labrador, as in any part of Canada, that the people that come together to make up a community are doing that in the same process that's always happened. So I think, although Goose Bay is not a very old community, it's only been here since 1941, it's made up of people who were here before that and people who have come long after. And a community is always made up of a bunch of people getting together to work somewhere and then building their lives around that. So that the fabric of Labrador, like anywhere in Canada, is a complex, changing kind of pattern that means everybody who comes here gives something to the place and enhances its character.
And you said that you're going to be putting this online as well. Is it going to be displayed in any kind of physical way?
We're hoping so. We want to have a permanent display, and that's part of what we're happy to get the funding for, so that the portraits can be printed on canvas and can be displayed. And so it probably will be in the town hall, and that's a public space that people use. We've also got a really wonderful theater here. It's not an arts and culture center. It's a community theater, but it's a very, very much a new state-of-the-art theater, the O'Brien Arts Center, and we have the capacity in the lobby there to display the portraits as well. So I think that they will end up being physically displayed in probably a traveling exhibit, and then we'll look at where they can be permanently located. But the online presence is really important as well, because the difficulty of traveling around Labrador means that to go and enlist photographers to get involved in this project, it's hard to bring people physically together, but we will be able to use some of the funding that we were fortunate enough to get from the Community Foundation to engage these photographers in the more remote, smaller communities of Labrador as well.
Well, that's another thing that's fascinating about it, because it's not just the people that you're showcasing, but the people whose eyes you're borrowing to use these photos that are also part of that community. How much? Oh, go ahead.
I was just saying that's a wonderful way to put that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How much do you think that the tradition bearers that the photographers are themselves is influencing this work as well? Because it's a fascinating point of view of Labrador kind of looking at itself in that respect.
Very much. And the people that are photographers, when I went to the camera club, I was really interested to see who was there. There were certainly people that I knew. I wouldn't have known them primarily as photographers, so though some of them would have been trained in that art, and some of them would have developed this, you know, over a long time. Jeff Goodyear, you probably know Jeff's photographs. He's a member of the club. John Graham, I mentioned, and Mavis Penny, who's an artist. So there are people that are well known as photographers, but there were also younger people. There were also community people who were just learning. There are people that, you know, I would have seen as, you know, people at hockey games or concerts or something, and all of a sudden they're all in the camera club too. So what they bring to that is their interest, but also their own perspective on choosing who they think is an interesting person out of the many, many people they all know in this community. Who do they think has a story to tell or an interesting face? So the photographers are, that sort of interplay between the photographers and the subjects is really what makes this a very rich kind of project, because there's so much potential to see who chooses whom as a kind of angle on Labrador.
You're at the Labrador Institute in Goose Bay. What other kind of projects like this are going on in the community up there to kind of capture and share this level of culture?
A lot of what we do at the Labrador Institute has that kind of mandate. We certainly have other angles on this as well. We have researchers in marine ecology and soil science and geochemistry, so we have all of those things. But we have Inuit Bachelor of Education program, and so those students are all Nanatsiavut beneficiaries, and they are doing a four-year primary elementary education degree, and they're doing it all here. And a lot of what they do is they do courses that are culturally infused with Inuit traditions and with Inuit ways of seeing. So much of what they do is work on the land. One of the courses they did that I taught was all about the Labrador Creative Arts Festival. So Labrador Institute is someone involved with that as well, and that's a 42-year-old festival of people creating their own plays on aspects of their culture and their community concerns. We have an archaeologist who is teaching a field school this summer in Northwest River, so the dig is in Shezhi, so community people are involved along with the Memorial University students who are coming in for this field school. We have a number of children's books that I've worked on where we've had people collect stories, and then we've had local legends and a sort of a scientific explanation with it to give equal value to two ways of seeing the world. We have a project in Northwest River on the war veterans. There are a lot of things going on here. We've got Heritage Minutes that you can see on our website where our librarian has... an archivist has looked at our collections of films and so on, and has published those and done sort of promotional videos of them. So there are many, many projects that go on here.
That reminded me of something else as well. Has the general public perception, maybe you wouldn't know, but the general public perception of traditional knowledge passed down through Aboriginal groups and First Nations groups changed somewhat over the last few years? Particularly, I'm thinking in regard to the Franklin Expedition, which was lost for, you know, almost 200 years until they just asked the people that lived there where it was, and they said, oh, it's over there, and they found it suddenly.
Yes.
There seemed to be a new respect for the knowledge passed down, you know, oral tradition, et cetera, mm-hmm. from the people who actually live in and understand this land better than anybody else. Has that changed at all?
Oh, yes, I would say so. In the time that I've been here, I'm a folklorist, so our entire body of I don't know what you want to call it, like primary sources is all from interviews with people. So folklorists are already trained that way. But I've seen this happen much more so that probably maybe, 16, 17 years ago, I went to a conference, and somebody at that time was studying there's a specific cod population called the Gilbert Bay cod in southern Labrador that's supposed to be a specific distinct species of cod. And the researcher, the biologist who was doing this, was at the time saying that this was, that he had actually gone and talked to the fishermen. So at that time it was being presented as sort of a, seemed to me like kind of a novel approach to say, why don't we ask people what they've observed? And it's grown much more since then that people have incorporated traditional knowledge to the point where they really need to do that now, that every kind of ethics procedure we go through requires community consultation and buy-in for any kind of research project, but it certainly wasn't always that way. And when you talk about the Franklin expedition, it reminds me of when the, you know, about the Moravian missions that were, the Moravian missionaries came in the mid-1700s to Labrador, and so the existing communities on the coast were, you know, of course, where people lived, but they had a more nomadic life, and that was where the mission stations were built, and people came to settle in those places. And the first mission station was eventually discovered probably maybe, again, 15, 20 years ago near Makovic. It had always been thought to be up near Hopedale, but when they started asking local people, even though that was a very long time ago, there was enough local knowledge to point the archaeologists in the direction of where the site actually was found.
Yes.
So, yeah, a lot of time could be saved by people just asking around.
Yeah, I realize suddenly it's funny to talk to a folklorist about this because,
yes,
of course, for an archaeologist or maybe a marine biologist or something, that's a whole revolutionary new way of thinking, but that's literally your discipline we're talking
about.
Yes,
it is, yeah. And certainly archaeologists would be aware of that, and they do a lot of that now. And I don't know enough about the history of that discipline to know whether they always did, but certainly for the, for some of the other disciplines, it has not been the case to necessarily just ask people that, that they would have another way of looking at things. And so the Academy has changed a great deal in that way. And so now we have community partners in everything that we do.
This is Web Trawler with Andrew Hawthorne on the VOCM radio network.
We've been talking about the Humans of Labrador project, and now I'm talking to John Graham of the Tamarack Camera Club. John, can you tell us a bit about your club and what you guys are doing?
Great to be on the show, Andrew. Yeah, the club has been around for, I think it's 3 years now. It was a group of photographers who were enthusiastic and wanted to work with one another and teach one another and improve their skills. And we've ended up having three exhibitions down at the O'Brien Arts Center. We now have a permanent display at the town hall office. And we've been working with both the, there's a running club in Goose Bay, and they have a marathon each fall on Thanksgiving. And we'll come out and take photos of that and post those and whatnot. And then the big Lab Cup soccer tournament that we have in Happy Valley, Goose Bay, and teams, 30 teams this year from all over Labrador came. And again, the club was taking photographs at that and posting those on Facebook and whatnot. So the club has been around for a while. It's been involved with the community, primarily in the Happy Valley Goose Bay area. And that's for our photographers are from all from Happy Valley Goose Bay. And now we're moving on to the Humans of Labrador, and we want to get the other photographers involved with the club and taking photographs and telling a story about the individual in the photograph and having those posted on our website and our Facebook, but also we're working with the Newfoundland Quarterly, and we're working with Memorial University, the Labrador Institute, and so there's various sites that we want to post these stories and the photographs.
I was speaking with Martha McDonald from the Labrador Institute about the Humans of Labrador project, and it's a really fascinating project because it's not just about the stories of the people that you're talking to and taking pictures of, but it's also about how people from Labrador, the people in the camera club, are actually seeing Labrador, kind of a way of Labrador to see and speak about itself. Can you speak to that at all?
Yeah, no, it's a real interesting project. It's not just the Tamarack Camera Club, but we're trying to engage photographers from around Labrador. So part of our mission is, as a club, is to get those photographs out from Labrador, get people to see them. And now we've expanded our reach and said, let's engage people from around Labrador. Let's get those photos out and display. The other piece for us is always wanting to build people's skill level and bring new challenges to the photography club. So this brings new challenges in, you know, asking people if we can take a portrait of them and then interview them and get a story. So it's challenging, and we're reaching out to photographers, as I say, all over Labrador. We'd like to engage people, and we're, as club members, willing to give tips, give a little some ideas of how to get a shot, how to record that story and write it up. And also with the Newfoundland Quarterly, it's the ones that are selected for the magazine, the photographer will get paid to have that one, that photograph on in the magazine. So it's kind of cool as in a way of developing as a club, but developing the skill level of our, of the photographers. So lots of people have cameras nowadays. Lots of people are taking all kinds of pictures, and some of them are getting lucky and getting great shots. Some of them are good photographers, have a good eye. But all of us can learn new tips and new skills. So having a club is a way of helping everybody build that skill level and take better pictures, be able to tell a better story with that photograph. We're hoping that this will engage people from around Labrador.
What kind of stories are you encountering with your interviews with people?
So far, we haven't gone very. This is just getting underway, and we're just, in fact, getting press releases and whatnot out this week and last week. So we're fairly new at it, but there has been a couple of pictures. One picture was of Mark Nui from Natwashish, and Marco was just talking, and it was a shot of him at the Labrador Winter Games, and he's chiseling through 4 feet of ice, having already gone around what's called the Labrathon, which is a really grueling course, and he's at the last leg of this and chiseling through 4 feet of ice, and the sweat is pouring off his face, and it's a shot of him out there taking, and he just talks a little bit about the challenges that come with life, you know, and the overcoming those challenges and the satisfaction. There's another one, a second photograph that was in a very recent issue of the Newfoundland Quarterly, of Tunker Campbell, who's a musician here in Goose Bay, an incredible musician and well-known all over Newfoundland and Labrador. And it's a picture of Tunker with a beautiful shot of Tunker with his guitar and talking a little bit about the importance of music in his life. So we're getting quite a variety so far.
Are you encountering anything that surprised you when you've talked to somebody or somebody interesting that you've seen?
Not yet, but as I say, we're so early into this that I'm anticipating that we're going to get those shots. And I do know of one other shot that I wouldn't say it's surprising, but it is of somebody that's in a senior's home. And she's just, and I'm hoping it gets submitted, and the photographer has shown it to me, a picture of her aunt, and her aunt just looking up to the camera with these beautiful bright eyes, and just the shot just tells the story of how delighted she is to have her niece come to visit, you know? And you can just see, and the background, you can tell, you get the sense that it must be in a senior's home. And it's just a gorgeous shot, and it's just a gorgeous picture of this this aunt and the delight in her eyes.
How can people get involved with the project if a photographer wants to learn a little more about it or just taking some photos and joining you?
That's a great question, Andrew, and that's an important one for us now at the Tamarack Camera Club, because the club members know about it and are getting involved with it. We're reaching out now to photographers from all over Labrador, and they would. And I have an email. We have a Facebook site as well as a web page, and it's the Tamarack Camera Club. So if they Google that, and they'll get our website. But also if they go onto Facebook, and they just it's a group, so they'll just need to ask for permission to join. And one of the club members that is already has authorization to do that will just accept that invitation, and they'll see posts there and get more information. They can also contact me on my email. And my email, it's okay to give it over the phone, the email address?
Absolutely.
Great. So my email address is graham.john709 clubmembers@gmail.com, and they can contact me and I'll forward information on to them. And there's club members that are also open to talking to a photographer about their shot or about the techniques that they might want to use and whatnot. So there's a couple of ways of the people contacting us, and then we'll also forward things on to and we'll have contact information for the Labrador Institute as well and for Newfoundland Quarterly. So there's other sites. We can always forward that on, or individuals can choose to send it to all of us at the same time, whatever works best. We're going to try and make this simple for people to participate in the process. And we recognize that for lots of photographers, it's the interview process that might pose the challenge.
And how do you get over that? As a reporter, I was talking to Martha McDonald about this too. As a reporter, you know, one of the scariest things is to approach somebody who isn't expecting to be approached and say, like, listen, can I ask you a question and tell your story? How did you get over that initial hump?
Yeah, and I think to date, everybody has picked somebody that they know so that they can get over that. And even then, it hasn't been a cinch for people. People have still found that even difficult to say, listen, I'd also like to interview you. But in each case, it has, so I'll just tell what's happened for the different photographers that have gone out and taken a picture. All of them have come back and said, that was a great experience. I loved it. It was so hard to get over. And in that initial going forward and asking somebody if I can take their picture and if I can interview them and talk to them. But everyone has come back and said it was a great experience. They're so glad they did it. And the other, I think they feel at this point of posting the picture and posting the story, I think there's a bit of a sense of pride as well in their own work as a photographer, but being able to share that individual story as well and putting it out there for people to read and to see the picture.
And if you're not a photographer and are still interested in seeing the Humans of Labrador project and the photos you're taking, how are people going to be able to do that?
Great. Not all photographs will go to the Newfoundland Quarterly and the stories. They'll all go for the Quarterly to look at them and curate. So some will go into the Newfoundland Quarterly. We're going to post the stories and curate at the Tamarack Camera Club's website, and we'll be posting on Facebook, and people will see some of those stories on Facebook as well. And the Labrador Institute is also going to post. We're hoping that we're going to have, as well as part of this, an exhibition, but the exhibition will likely be at the O'Brien Arts Center after we're finished, so that we'll select maybe 20 of those photographs, and we'll have an exhibition for people to come and see, and probably a slideshow is what we've done in the past as well, and for people to see the slideshow and see the pictures and the stories put up that way. And I think, we'll cross our fingers, that Newfoundland Quarterly might publish some of them in a hard copy magazine in the new year as well.
Wonderful. John Graham, thanks so much for talking to us today.
Andrew, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Glad we're able to get that word out, and I'm really hoping that there will be photographers from all over, from Nain and Labrador City, down in the south coast of Labrador, that we have pictures from all over, and that that each of the regions and communities is represented in the show at the end.
This has been Web Trawler with Andrew Hawthorne on the VOCM Radio Network.